الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the niyyah, the intention of a mu'min, is better than his action. So I make intention that whatever I say will be solely for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. Inshallah, and viewers of Madni channel must make intention that we will listen to this bayan from beginning to end with attentiveness. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who recites the largest number of Durood Sharif. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi.
Dear viewers of Madni channel, today we'll be discussing a very serious problem. A problem that is affecting many people from across all classes of society, rich, poor, intelligent, uneducated. And the problem that we're referring to is drug abuse. The thing is, we have heard about this problem, we keep hearing about this problem, we heard it for years. Many conferences have taken place where people have been trying to understand, trying to analyze, trying to find solutions. But sad to say, I'm sure you'll agree, it's a flop. Because the surveyors are now saying that the war against drug is lost. And in fact, there's now an increase in the number of people taking drugs. This to start this discussion, I'd like this to quote in our country a survey that was done. And they said they had spoken to people from rehab centers, treatment centers, the police, the paramedics, etc., to try and get information. And what they said is that our country is under siege. The reality is that many people are saying that the war against drug is lost, and that our country has been hit by a drug tsunami. That means the fight against this problem so far has been and is ineffective. The survey was done on a total of 57,809 people from two major provinces in our country, and majority of the people that are surveyed were between the ages of 22 and 45. That means fairly young people, active people, and most of them were fully employed. So we're not talking about unemployed people who take drugs because they've got nothing, but here we're talking about employed people. And what is mentioned, which is shocking, that one third of the people, 34%, have said that they take drugs themselves. And majority of them, like dakha in some countries called cannabis, in some countries called ganja, that is the most popular drug. Thereafter is cocaine, cat, and LSD. Now, these are very habit-forming drugs. And the people surveyed, some spend 200 rand a month, and a large number, 13% say that they spend 500 rand a month. Another 13% say they spend 3,000 rand a month on drugs, and there's 2% that spend as much as 10,000 rand a month on drugs. Now, viewers of Madni channel, I'm sure this is similar in most of the developed countries. And what is mentioned here, which is shocking, that 80% of those surveyed say that we are losing this war against drugs. I mean, majority are saying. And this group also interviewed teenagers in schools, and they interviewed 2,513 teenagers. And what is shocking, that in school, They said 69% said drug is available in their school. And 34% have said that they have taken drugs in the last 6 months. So comparing this to previous years, it's been the survey has shown that there is 11% increase in the use of dhaka, which is ganja or cannabis. And also there is, in our country, there's a drug called tick. And the use of that has doubled in the last year. And another drug called cat has increased by 82%. Now, rehab centers are increasing, which shows that people having problems with drugs are increasing, the numbers are increasing, therefore, rehabs are increasing. Rehabs, so some of them are making lots of money. And people on the street, the vendors are increasing. So the survey group is saying, why would the vendors increase? That means the people who are using drugs are increasing, therefore the number of vendors are also increasing because the number of vendors can't meet to the demand. So this is really shocking. That shows that we have lost the war against drugs. So now we need to open this discussion and get your point of view, what you feel regarding this challenge.
Amiruddin Bhai, as you mentioned, that this is not just a South African problem, this is a global problem. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami has waged war against drug abuse. And it is mentioned that 90% of rehab centers, rehabilitation centers, fail, or 90%, there's a 90% failure rate in trying to rehabilitate drug addicts. And there's only a 10% success rate. And as you have mentioned, that this is growing. We find that amongst the youth, it's becoming more and more popular. At schools, as you've mentioned, drugs are readily available. And you find that these drug lords are starting to getting children at school level to peddle the drugs for them.
Drug abuse is a major problem. Every community is faced with. But when you go deeper into the problem, you ask the question, how a person gets attracted to drugs. If a person is smoking cigarette today, or he has built up this evil habit of drug abuse, if you ask him the question, oh brother, how did you start this evil drug abuse? And he would tell you that undoubtedly we started in this way, that we met friends. And we spent time together. Friends were already addicted. And friends would say, just try once. Please try, be a man, come out of this childhood, come into the real world, and they will start to motivate a youngster to start drugs. And this is how they start the evil habit. They get into the taste of it. First it starts off with small drugs, like you mentioned, weed. South African terminology, we're calling it weed.
We record, we have a silsila running on Madani channel as well, called Madani Inqilab. And in the silsila, an Islamic brother, and now Muballighe Dawat Islami, used to also abuse drugs. And not only did he abuse drugs, but he also used to sell and manufacture drugs. And this Islamic brother was so involved in the network of drug manufacturing, drug peddling, that he couldn't come out of this bad company, this evil company. And from one sin, it led to another, to another, to another. It was like spiraling downwards. And at the end, he could see no return.
Okay, when this was happening, if the police does intervene, were they allowed to just carry on doing drugs?
You see, at the level that this Islamic brother was, they could through bribery buy themselves out of court cases. But just coming back to the point that this Islamic brother, he says that he used to take drugs, he used to sell drugs, and he couldn't get out of this bad company, and he could see no way out. And one day, a Muballigh Dawat-e-Islami came knocking at his door, doing Neki Ki Dawat, Ilaqa-e-Dora. And this Islamic brother invited him for the weekly Ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami. And the andaz, the character of this Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami was so beautiful that this rough and tough drug addict and drug lord, he felt a little bit of softness for this Muballigh. So he didn't want to decline the invitation, but he tried to use some tactics to make an excuse to get out of that situation. So he told him, no, I don't have any transport. And if you want me to come, you need to arrange transport for me. I can't come to the Ijtima. Very roughly he spoke. But he didn't have the heart just to say, no, I don't want to come. Because of the andaz, the character of this Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islam. Eventually, when this Islamic brother offered to pick him up and take him to the Ijtima, at the Ijtima, he heard the bayan of Muballigh Dawat-e-Islam. And a lot of evil thoughts that were in his mind at that time, during the bayan, they were getting clarified, they were getting cleared up. And thereafter, another Islamic brother invited him for Madani Qafila.
Subhanallah, mashallah.
This Islamic brother, in first time now, he's hearing of Madani Qafila. So he said, no, I can't attend Madani Qafila. But the Islamic brother who invited him for Madani Qafila took his name down, took his telephone number down. And we're talking here about a person not only who used to abuse drugs, who used to take drugs himself, but used to manufacture and distribute drugs to the peddlers. So Muballigh Dawat-e-Islami kept in touch with this so-called drug addict. And after the first phone call, he refused. The second phone call Muballigh Dawat-e-Islami made, he refused to go for Madani Qafila. The third phone call, he accepted the invitation.
From here, the Madani channel, from this episode, you can see, alhamdulillah, we'll talk more about this. Solution to problem like this, alhamdulillah, we have in Dawat-e-Islami, as the brother has mentioned. It was the quality of this Muballigh, he didn't give up. He's the way, as we heard, the way he presented himself, that shows he won the heart of the person. Although inwardly he was finding excuse, but this Muballigh was so experienced that he left no loophole. And eventually through his effort, this person has changed. Imagine what we have, a person who is now in Dawat-e-Islami, used to be a drug addict. So can you see how, if we ourselves are skilled in the work of Dawat-e-Islami, if we have passion for the work of Dawat-e-Islami, we can change so many people's lives. So inshallah, in this episode,
we're talking about sohbat, company. And I said earlier that when this Islamic brother was in bad company, he couldn't find a way out. He accepted the invitation for Madani Qafila. He couldn't express what is going on in his life to anyone. At the Ijtima that Thursday night, when he attended Madani Qafila, it was that first time when the first VCD of Amir al-Sunnah was released. When he made the ziyarat of Amir al-Sunnah, and in during that Madani Qafila, whilst the dua was going on, tears started rolling down. This Islamic brother, after seeing the VCD of Baba Jan of Amir al-Sunnah and making dua, whilst dua is happening, tears are starting to roll down his eyes, down his cheeks. And when he was in that life of drugs, drug abuse, he was even shot at. He even got bullets lodged in his body. But that didn't bring tears to him. This environment that he is now in, that brought tears to his eyes.
This Madani revolution you're talking about.
This is a Madani revolution that brought a change in his life. On that day, during that Madani Qafila, first ever Madani, first Ijtima he attended, first Madani Qafila he attended. During the Madani Qafila, he told Amir Qafila, I am ready to wear Amama Sharif. Amir Qafila arranged for Amama Sharif, put it on his head. 7 years later, that Amama Sharif has not left his head.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
The craving for drugs, and till today, Islamic Brother says that if he comes anywhere near drugs, he can sniff, he'll get that sense of drugs being in the vicinity. And now it sickens him to such an extent that he wants to actually vomit. This Madani revolution that took place was only because he had a change in environment. That why do rehabilitation centers fail? Because when a person goes to a rehab or rehabilitation center, he is secluded from the rest of the world. In the rehab center, he's clean. He comes off the drugs. But when he goes back into society and meets those old friends again, meets those same drug merchants that used to sell drugs to him again, now, again, it's very easy for him to adopt the same habit.
Okay, Asul Bhai, I have got something. You may have got more information. They say in rehab centers you get more drugs than outside. Is that true? Because people smuggle drugs there as well.
So please, there are some rumors about this as well. And there's no doubt about it that it's possible. Drugs are being abused in rehab centers. This is why the rate of, basically, of rehabilitation to recover is almost only 8 to 10%. The 90% they go back into the drugs. But the point he's giving is a very valid point. But he says that when the person comes out, he's coming clean. And when he's coming out clean, it's like now that sheep that's left the herd. It was in the herd, it was safe, everything was okay, they were grazing together, they were enjoying together, they were doing everything together, drinking together, they were having the waters together, having the foods together. But the moment one sheep left the flock, just like the sheep that leaves the flock. The lion is waiting patiently because together they are safe. But the moment the sheep is alone away from the flock, the lion captures him. So when the person goes out there, he's going to meet the same friends. He's going to be talking the same language. Only this time he's rehabilitated. But the moment he steps out of rehabilitation, here he goes again. He's back in the same company. So basically we're coming back to the same thing. Good company, good result. Bad company, bad result. This
good man's company makes you good and bad man's company makes you bad.
Yes. Okay, so far survey has been done. And as you mentioned, that there's a 90% failure rate regarding rehab. So via the Madni channel, what is the solution? Alhamdulillah, there is a solution. And the solution is that first we look at the cause of the problem to get the solution. In many cases, you find because of lack of tarbiyat, where the parents are so, without knowing or realizing this, they feel that by providing financially for the children, that they are taking care of the needs, but they do not worry about the emotional bond with the children. So it happens that and the child wants to connect emotionally, the father and the mother are so occupied with their own lives. That means the father regarding his business or his career, or the mother is more involved in maybe watching movies at home, etc., etc. But they feel that as long as the mother feels I'm making tasty food for my children, I'm taking care of the needs, the father thinks that whatever they want financially, I'm buying and giving them, but they cannot connect with them emotionally. So the children want this emotional contact. And then what happens, they go, and as I've already mentioned, because of bad company, now they form friendship with, if they form friendship with people who are close to drugs or love drugs or addicts, so they will be influenced. Now, how do you solve the problem? First of all, I have had a person approaching me regarding drug problem in the family. And when I spoke to this person, one brother was concerned about his younger brother getting involved in drugs. And what I figured out is because of the cold nature, the natural cold nature of the father, not that he disliked his child, that was his manner. He thought that you have to have the distance to get respect. And because of that, the child became more and more distant. And then what happened was, the child got involved in drugs. The father was so angry because he didn't show this emotionally, but he said, this is my favorite child. But he didn't show the child that this is my favorite child because it's the way it was, like the child was distant from him. And then what happened, when the child got involved in drugs, and this father had a high name in society, so this is what happens. What are people going to say? I am a respected person in the human community and my child is a drug addict. Now what happened here? So the father himself has to acknowledge that I am the cause of the problem. When I spoke to his father that please accept responsibility, there was tears in his eyes when he realized that he is actually part of the cause. So how do you rehab? How do you get this person to come back, you know, and become normal? One is you have to give him support. Instead of taking him and putting him in the rehab, why did they put him in the rehab? Hoping that nobody will notice that my son is a drug addict, I'll put him in the rehab, magic, he'll come right, and then offer everything, nobody knows. As we know, sometimes they will become worse in the rehab. Now, we haven't got time because now we are feeling ashamed. Instead of talking to the child with love, we start scolding the child, you're a disgrace to the family. See what you have done to us, look at our name, see what about our name. So the child becomes even more distant. So what we should say, the expert Islamic way is, talk to the child, give him tarbiyah, even now say, make tawbah. And the biggest problem is we do not go turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla for aid. This is where Dawud Islami helps. And as our brother mentioned, that, or you mentioned that this brother went and gave an invitation and this person got pulled into Dawud Islami. That means the vacuum, if you don't put spirituality, the vacuum is taken by this evil desire and make people go further and further away. So one is there must be a family support. That means the father must admit and the problem and also a part
of denial is one of the, you know, to a lot of people and a lot of families that the first thing that they do when they hear of a family member abusing drugs is that they just deny it. And the first step to solving the problem is to accept responsibility, acknowledge that there is a problem. If you do not acknowledge there is a problem, then you cannot go any further in trying to resolve the problem. And like you said, a lot of people, they expect that, you know, we take the person out of society, put him in a separate, in isolation, and expect him to come out washed and cleaned, and then try to fit him back into society. And then they can't fit in society. Nobody gets up one day and decides that, today I want to become a drug addict. Nobody just wakes up in the morning and says that, you know, today I want to become an alcoholic. This happens through a process. And it needs to be undone through a process. The process which got the person into taking drugs, that process needs to be undone. And the best way of managing the entire process, or the crucial and most essential part of managing this, is the company that that particular individual keeps. Because if you keep the company of pious people, if you keep the company of good people, and when you do something wrong, that is seen like that is, you know, it's out of nature. But if you're in the company of those who constantly do wrong, when you want to try to do good, then that looks unnatural.
Okay, now the thing is, how would you say that peer pressure causes people to get to drugs? And how would you advise parents when you were involved? How, what signs would the parents look for to know the child is a drug addict? What will he do differently from now?
20 years ago, approximately, plus minus, it was very easy to find out if your kid or your child is on drugs because there were various signs.
Can you give the sign? Maybe
for example, in those days, if there was a burnt mark on your finger or your thumb, it was easy to know that our child was taking a drug which has to be lit by a pipe, etc. And then, of course, they become unsteady on their feet, their eyes become bloodshot, etc., etc. But today's drugs are so potent, so powerful, even their own parent will not be aware sometimes that their child is on drugs. But there are still some solutions. There are some ways which we can find out whether our child is on the drug. And number one, the best way today is the blood sample, the blood test. That is your quickest way. And another way to find out, we will check your child's sleeping patterns, check his dressing patterns, his eating patterns, his friend circles.
Okay, okay.
We have to look at all this, like sleeping over the number during the day,
oh,
sleeping a lot during the day, and keeping awake the entire night. These are some of the major. I think
not making
a
bother,
of course, definitely not making a bother.
Now, about eating, about eating, what happened?
Oh, eating over the limit.
Sure.
But not picking up weight.
Eating over the limit, not picking up weight, sleeping excessively during the day, and staying awake the entire night because they're moving at night. And this today's drug gives them more power than the previous weaker drugs. These drugs today are very potent, very powerful. It is heading for destruction. Undoubtedly, it's destroying every home, every house. Father is fighting with the son. Son is fighting with the brother. Brothers are fighting with sisters. Each one is fighting with each other. The work relationships are messed up. The college life is messed up. The school lives are messed up. University lives are messed up. Your kids start stealing at home. Because it leads to these other things. Abusive languages, out of control. If the child becomes so desperate now, he needs the drug now. Mother doesn't give it to him, father doesn't give it to him, he hasn't got a bank balance, he's in trouble, he goes out, he takes out the TV, he takes out the video VCR, he takes some electric appliance, he goes out and sells it even for 1/10 of the price. As long as he satisfies himself immediately, this is what he's looking for. So he goes out, he doesn't care, he crosses the limit. This evil is in every society, and it's destroying homes, it's destroying our family life, our relationships, our university life, our college life, it is destroying us. So we have to look at this in a very in-depth manner as to how we're going to go forward to give the viewers of Madhini Channel a solution for their problems.
Viewers of Madhini Channel, now we can see what problems drugs cause in home, and we had first-hand experience from our brother. We investigated many of these cases. I would like to share a story with you that was related to me by an alim adin, where this alim was making imamat in a masjid, and there was a person that used to come regularly with the son 5 times a day for salah. And one day, this alim was shocked because the son came to him because he had a good relationship with the alim, and he told him, "Please, I am going to tell you something. I don't know who to share this with. But please do not tell this to my father." So he said, "My father trusts me. On a Saturday night, he allows me to go with my Muslim friend out. And he said, what he doesn't know is, when I go out with my friends, we do drugs. I go to a rave club where there's music and dancing. And he said, I become high. And he says, and as our brother mentioned, now the drugs are such that after a while you can't even have evidence that the person was drugged. He says, one day while he was in a high state of intoxication, he was high on drugs. So he went to the bathroom, and he says he looked at his face in the mirror, and what shocked him was, he saw a very frightening, ugly looking face. At first he thought that he was hallucinating because of the drugs. So he said he went out of the bathroom, and when he came back and he looked at his face again, He saw the same ugly creature, frightened creature looking at him. And he got shocked and he went out. He said from that day, he didn't go back because he heard people saying that when people are high on drugs, they all get infected with jinns. And he says, I know there was a jinn looking at me. It was ugly. And he told this to the Mawlana as well.
There is, you know, some of the youngsters, they get involved, you know, because of them being intoxicated. They even have a drug called the rape drug. When youngsters go to these nightclubs, drugs are readily available there. An Islamic brother who was in this business informed us that when you are involved in the nightclubbing business, naturally you get involved in the drug business. Because what really makes those nightclub owners rich is not paying the fees to enter, to listen to the music and dancing. It's the liquor and it's the drugs. That's what really makes them rich. And then they have so much of money that they too themselves don't know what to do with that money, that they start gambling as well. And this type of drug abuse, our youngsters want to be seen as being cool, you know, being part of the group, and they want to follow their friends who, you know, who seem to be like up to date and modern. And these kids then start going to these type of places, and from there the peer pressure comes on, where they'll say, just try this. You won't do nothing to you, don't worry. I took two of it, I took three of it. Look at me, I'm still fine. And when this child or this young teenager tries that drug for the first time, and they don't leave home, again, I'm saying it. Nobody leaves home saying that from today, I'm going to be a drug addict. They try it for the first time. It's a chemical. It has addictive qualities. You'll crave for more. There will be a chemical imbalance in your body. And then when you crave for more, the only thing that's going to now get you normal and stable again is once you have more. Once you have another hit.
The dose keeps increasing.
And then the dose starts increasing. Then from smaller drugs to bigger drugs. Then after that, more. Then the quantity starts increasing. Then it becomes so uncontrollable that drug addict himself wishes that something could happen to him, that he comes out of the state. People are thrown on the streets. You look at a lot of the people living on the streets today. It's because of drugs that they are out on the street, because nobody wants them around anymore. Like Islamic brother said earlier, they will start stealing from their parents. They will start selling items from the home just so that they can get their next fix.
No, but what I like to ask, if you are a parent, and you know your son hasn't gone to university, he's not working, and all of a sudden he's driving flashy cars, he's got lots of money. Wouldn't you as a parent question, where are you getting this money from, and how? And these drug lords are destroying the lives of thousands of people.
So sometimes parents, you know, trying to be the perfect parents, sometimes make mistakes. So it mustn't seem as though there is an attack on parents. Parents trying to be the perfect parents, they make mistakes. But as Muslims, we need to analyze our lives, whether we are children, whether we are parents. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the perfect example for all of mankind. If parents ask themselves that, how are we bringing our children up? Are we following the norms of society and bringing our children up according to the norms of society? Or are we bringing our children up according to the sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many parents teach their children and force their children to read salah from the age of 7? How many parents encourage their children to study ilm-e-deen? There are certain branches of knowledge which is fard upon every mukallaf person to know. We know that at a certain age, our child is going to become baligh, we're going to become mature, he will be mukallaf, he'll be duty bound to perform salah. How many parents themselves know how to perform salah correctly? And how many of them give that pass that tarbiyah, that training onto their children? Now, you know, they say an empty mind is a devil's workshop. So these empty vessels trying to do things the way they think it's right. Like you said earlier on, that the parent now, both parents are working. In the house, both parents are working. The child is brought up by, in Western countries, by maybe a kafira, or a kafir person, a non-Muslim, a disbeliever. And that child is not learning Muslim value systems, the Muslim value system. That child is learning a non-Muslim value system. So, as parents, the parents need to ask themselves that what role have I played in making my, or what role have I played for my child to become a drug addict? Have I given him the proper tarbiyat? Because there's certain things, certain responsibilities that a parent has, certain rights that the child has over the parent, and certain rights the parents have over the child. We always talk about the rights that the parent or the child has, or the parents have over the child, but we very seldom talk about the rights that the child has over the parents. And this tarbiyat, this training that we have to give our children, this is part of their rights, this is their haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, O you who truly believe, I'm giving you the summary of the translation, O you who believe, save yourself and your family, wa ahlikum, from that fire whose fuel is humans and idols and stones. So it is the zimmedari, the responsibility of the head of that household to save his child, to save his children's mother from that fire. How many of us, men, husbands, fathers, are making a sincere effort in trying to change, to save our children from that fire?
You know, Shaiba, I was just thinking one point when you're talking about children. One point comes to the mind, that when the kid was young and he was small, and the parents were enjoying with the kid, and the kids were enjoying with the parents, was so much of love and so much of muhabbat between child and mother and child and father. And as the child grew up, there was so much of love, so much of love, and so much of love. Until that day, the evil, the drug, came into the life of the child. Now things have changed. The table has turned. Now the parent is wishing that the child was never born.
Curses the child.
Curses the child, swears the child. Now the
shakkat is gone.
The table is turned around.
Is gone.
This is actually the evil of society. Drug abuse is here to destroy a nation. So we have to give some points to the views of Malay channel.
Okay, one very good point. One thing is, from your experience, when a drug addict is locked in prison, or the person who's abusing drugs is sometimes in prison, do you think that it has any positive impact on them, or they become worse? Because we say now, despite so many people being locked, the whole problem is increasing. So is that locking them up having any impact, in your view?
Look, sometimes it does good. Many a times we hear people are going into jails. And after they're coming out of jail, they've changed their life. Look, there are many stories.
Alhamdulillah, there are so many Madani Bahar.
We'll talk about the Dawasami involved in jail. I'm talking about normally. Where Dawasami, you know, where they're working in jail, we know, Alhamdulillah, they're in the
prison. I cannot say exactly, but there are definitely a percentage that comes out, he does good when he comes back in the community. And there's definitely the percentage that comes out, and he's getting back to the jail.
You know what I've heard? Even drugs get smuggled into jail.
Yes.
Okay, viewers of Madni Channel, Alhamdulillah, we've heard about this problem. And we had one example of a person being touched by the nature of the Muballigh and changed his life. And there are many thousands of such cases, people who are involved in drugs, people who are in prison. And as our brother alluded to the fact that in prison now, alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam is working. So it means there is a solution, and the solution is getting involved in the mahal of Dawud Islam. And as we've said earlier on as well, it's depending on the company that you keep. If you are keeping company of people who remind you of Allah Azza wa Jal, remind you of respect of your parents, and this is an appeal to parents as well. Your child is doing drugs because of you neglecting his requirements. All you do is get him attached to Dawud Islam. And to get attached to Dawud Islam, you yourself need to be attached and bring your child in. And you'll be shocked when you see the same child who was talking back to you, suddenly he's kissing your hands. Suddenly when he talks to you, his gaze is down. So there is a solution. The solution is Dawud Islam. And inshallah, if all of us become sincere in our intention in trying to rectify the problem, inshallah, with our collective effort, we can help solve the problem. So here's the Wadi channel. My appeal to you is get involved in the mahal of Dawud Islam. That is the only solution to this problem. And inshallah, not only will you solve the problem, but you become close to Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahil nabi ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib.